This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Danger is a choice. Murder sends our voice. Thank you. The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
That's right. This is After Hours. We're going to talk about perverted sex all night long. Go ahead.
Now I understand why men in robes go with dynamite out to the Northwest. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Chris Harrison, your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper, I'm the other one. We do not have an opening tonight because I left it at home. It's my fault.
In the closet.
And it's in the closet, believe it or not.
So that's why we had to play the official sounding advisory.
Yeah, well, hey. Anyway, but we did have some newish music.
Yeah.
By that group that we played last week.
Shiting.
We can't tell you the name, but we can tell you the name of the song.
Shiting.
Yes, it's
Shiting Glitter.
S-H, put your favorite vowel here, T-T-I-N-G, Glitter.
I just prefer saying, you know, like if we're on Irish Airs, it's Shiting Glitter.
Shiting.
And that was The Curse.
Mm-hmm.
That started off, and of course, the Daniel Link CD.
Yes. And what's the name of that CD?
The Color of Rain.
Yeah, that's his newest one. I really
Recovering
like
Catholic Music.
Mm-hmm.
In this state, isn't that yellow?
Hey.
Color of Rain.
Well, close.
Nah, you're thinking the Ripcord about
okay.
now.
And that was Bruce Wayne. Now,
what else?
Whoa.
Hi, we're doing a radio show in here. Step out.
See what happens when I made him co-executive producer. It just, wow.
No, you leave that door open because it's hot as hell in here.
You're right.
Get to stepping.
Okay. Now, let's see. We're like really disjointed here tonight, aren't we? Hello?
Yeah, it's disjointed for a while there. We haven't had the drug tooth news, so there's no there's a lot of disjointed.
He went there. Okay. Okay, and I've got, I don't even have half of this stuff that I usually have, but in the court report tonight, let's see, what have I got? Nothing.
You left it at the museum, remember?
Yes, I know, but we do have, the ICOH does have a new board of directors, and Chairman Keith Vivial, Vice Chair Judy Reeves, Secretary Craig Farrell, and Treasurer is Julie Hollingsworth. The Dean of the College of Monarchs is Gerald McNeil, and other directors are Roger Barrera, Stephen Bunch, Ginger Vitus, and me, Jimmy Carper. And, of course, the ex officio Apollo Emperor Mark Cohen and the ex officio Gemini Empress Chanel Cartier. That's your board of directors for ICOH for the next year.
And I believe Euriscus is getting ready to do theirs.
Actually, no, because they do theirs in January when they have the Empress.
It's the candidate show.
Candidates, yeah. They just announced candidates last week. But the other thing with ICOH is that Saturday night at Mary's at 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish, is a show, put the right foot forward, put on by the board of directors of ICOH. That's happening. And also, Saturday, November the 12th, at 7 to 9 p.m., is Faces Contest at Keys West, put on by Copa Productions. And that's the one where they're going to have a calendar at the end of the year that they're going to have the face of, you know, each month they have a new face. And
they're
be on the calendar, and they're going to sell it, and all the the proceeds go for HIV/AIDS. Now, something else I wanted to talk about is something going on next weekend. Friday, November the 18th, it is party time, a night to celebrate. Mr. Gay Pride 2005, Christopher Prado, presents his 34th birthday bash, a night of Disney and 70s music. Ooh. Ooh.
So get your crystal balls
going. I mean, 8:30 at DJ's, 2517 Ralph. And that is benefiting the Montrose Clinic in Camp Hope, which is very, very nice. And
I love Disney.
The next day, November the 19th, which is a Sunday. Yes, it's Remembering Our Dead. TransHouston.com/Our Dead, if you want to check that out. It's the Houston Transgender Unity Committee invites you to remember our dead at the Houston Holocaust Museum. Doors open at 6:30 for museum tours. Remembrance ceremonies commence at 7 p.m. A kosher wine and cheese reception will follow the ceremony with a transgender panel discussion following the reception. This event is free and open to all who wish to share in this year's Transgender Day of Remembrance. And those are very moving events. I have been to a couple of them. And the only reason I haven't been to all of them is because I was out of town or doing something else. Not doing something else. I was out of town and I could not get to them. Because I don't know. Sometimes we just have to stop and think and put our lives in perspective. And speaking of putting our lives in perspective, that means that we are in fundraising mode for the fall membership. Yes.
You have to excuse me. I'm having a little trouble breathing and coughing here today.
Oh. Well, don't try not to do both at the same time.
Oh. and a plastic bag to you.
But we did really lousy last week, and so we have got to put the... we've got to put the screws to you, I'm sorry.
But fortunately, you know, we were not in as bad a shape as we thought we were when we left last week, but we still need to show...
We already have one pledge. We have a pledge from Paul, and we thank Paul very much, as we always do.
Yes. And
Paul never lets us down. Every pledge drive, Paul is there. Everyone.
And we need for other people to step up and help. Show your support. Show your love for the station. Show for the show.
Absolutely for this show, because your dollars count. It really lets management know that you support this show. We know we have a lot of listeners out there. We have a tremendous amount of listeners for an overnight show because you know how we are here. We do crazy things, and we're not afraid to talk about anything.
We're local live talk. You know, we're we're here in the Montrose trying to inform, educate, infuriate, whatever we can do to to let people know about our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take your dial on your radio and you turn it a little bit to the left, you'll hear plenty of stations talking about us.
Oh yeah.
Usually with phrases like burn in hell, destroying American society, and all sorts of fun things like that.
That's right. We're 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. We're between jazz and Jesus.
And the fact is that, you know, we're one of the few stations around that you're going to hear anything of a positive message on our community. And we're commercial free.
Yes.
Last week I met someone who was visiting Houston from Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just so enthralled with the idea of a radio station that can be commercial free.
Oh.
That
I thought every big city had a community radio station that was commercial free.
Well, you know, it's not just commercial free. The fact is, you know, there's another somewhat commercial-free station, but use all this corporate underwriting. So this show is brought to you by...
You know, that doesn't really count.
That's basically a big commercial
It is. And you find that the underwriting is the same as commercials in the sense that pretty soon you get the underwriters telling you what they will and will not pay for.
Yeah.
And that's where we draw the line here, because community radio is we mean it when we say community radio. And if you listen to this station, you know you're going to hear just from one end of the spectrum to the other.
If you want one way to realize how much we don't do corporate underwriting, listen to the BBC in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And listen at the bottom of the hour. When they take their commercial break, we get our radio feed in from another public broadcasting station.
Yes.
Who gets it underwritten. And so there's this little commercial. I'm not sure who it is now. Once in a while, it slips through. But it was some big drug company.
Oh.
And we play a PSA, so you don't know who's underwriting it.
Okay.
You don't know. So we don't honor that.
Yes.
Sort of thing. And the people you listen to on this show, you know, aren't paid to do what we do. We come down here out of a labor of love and a sense of pride in our community. And the way we need is for you to step up. It's 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, and show this station that there's still people out there that feel a program like this is important. Show the management that, you know, this community is viable. Because right now, all we can look at and see of how this community is viable is that 3 out of 4 Texans told our community...
Shove it.
To shove it. That, you know, you don't have the rights to something that's not even around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put forward the effort to put into the state constitution something that was already under Texas law for something that isn't even happening.
Yeah, but you know, the joke is on them because they just got rid of common law marriage in Texas. Hello.
Well, common law marriage, and not just that, but marriage technically from any other state. The way it's written, the way the law is written, yeah, hold your mic, is that marriage that was done in any other state is now illegal. So I have to tell my mother tomorrow that she's divorced, which she'll probably be very happy about. But that's the way this law was written. So that's all that we can show right now. You know, if we were broadcasting in Austin, we could at least say, hey, we defeated the amendment, but we didn't here. You know, 3 out of 4 Texans, a little less than that here for Harris County, voted in favor of Prop 2.
Yeah.
So
I was surprised. I didn't think we were going to win, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I thought it was going to be, you know, 55-45, that type of thing.
I mean, even the closest...
I really did.
The closest race that they had was, I think it was Austin's, which was 59-41 in opposing the amendment. So, I mean... All we can do is shout out the fact that, you know, there's a lesbian in the runoff to show that, you know, and, you know, don't tell the Republicans, but remember, we're 1-for-1 when lesbians are in runoffs in the city council.
To say nothing of, say nothing of our city controller. So, hello, just sailed right in there.
I don't think she was, I think she ran unopposed.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. but then
much more selling.
That's right.
Well, even Mayor Gollum had some competition.
Yeah, I mean, well, she beat him, his 92%.
Yeah. But, you know, what we need is, you know, we need something to show to management. And there's these wonderful little slips of paper that we would love to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps show management that we're a viable show, you know. Even a day earlier and a dollar shorter,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are still a viable show, and we need you to do that. 713-526-5738.
And we do have a couple of thank yous already. Yes, I love this. And I want to say hello out there to Brian and Trish, friends of Mm-hmm. Merlin's here.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
And thank you. You are fabulous. I love you.
Yeah, no kidding.
And yeah, thank you for this. Brian and Trish are good friends of mine who come and hang out with us sometimes, and one of them does a fabulous ghost tour of mantras.
Oh, really?
Of old mantras. He does when he's in town. He has another job.
Okay.
But he has a fabulous, yeah.
Wow.
He talks about, and he gives history of the neighborhood while he's doing it. So.
So Brian, when the form comes to you and it's they've misspelled your name.
Brian's out of town at the moment.
Don't come to me. Okay.
And yeah, one of those came in as an instant member.
Why? You know? Why do people always turn him into Brain Montgomery?
I don't know.
I've seen that's not the first time somebody's done that.
Really?
Well, we'll rewrite it. But you know, that's the simple fact is, you know,
maybe he is one.
Oh, he is. He's no. Very smart.
Okay. Well, there you got it. And I want
to. We need you to call in 713-526-5738.
Want to thank Jim too.
So Jim's our instant member.
Ah, yes, he certainly is.
And they love those.
He said, keep up the good work, and he wants to keep the opening theme the same. So I don't know if he means the old theme or your,
probably the I Love to Be Queer.
I Love to Be Queer?
Yeah, that was just a...
I love that. But, of course, I love the old one, too, and I loved every theme that we've had for After Hours, and there's been four or five.
And they're all on that CD.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, the one that's home in my closet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, gotcha. Anyway, thank you to Jim, and thank you to Brian and Trish. That is great. And, of course, Paul. And so we're off to a good start. Good start, but...
always can be better.
Always can be better. Yes, indeedy.
If you need gifts, if you need us to... If bribery...
We've got gifts.
You know, if you're feeling in that political mood still and bribery works...
Yeah. And, you know, you heard that opening number that we had from Daniel Link.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of the
Color of Rain?
Yeah, from that CD. He's sending me a couple of CDs he wants for giveaways.
Oh.
So, if you like that CD, call us in with a pledge on plastic.
Yeah, what's the standard number for...
That's 713-526-5738.
What do they do? How much are we going to give that for? I think normally CDs go for 60.
Hell, I'll do it for 50.
50 on, yeah.
I'm, you know.
Yeah, we're easy.
Yes. But they already knew that.
Yes, for $5, we'll make you holler. Something like that.
Well, on this end, it's $2. I've been around a lot longer.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, well, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot more depreciation on that.
And, of course, at my age, you won't be hollering. You'll just be whimpering, okay? But for $2, what do you want?
I can't find the generic, you know, the T-shirt. You know, this would probably help if I went to rehearsal around here.
You and me both.
Rehearsal? There's rehearsal.
Yeah.
Rehearsals in radio.
Yeah.
There's no redos either, unless you got the 7 second going. Somewhere in here. You know, we've got T-shirts. We've got dying. Up, down, up, down. Okay.
Let's hurry up and put on some music so I can go get another cigarette.
Yes,
you still need another one after that hack.
Yeah, I know.
He so needs that.
You know what's happening coming up next weekend? The second annual, only the second annual, Houston Comic and Zine Festival. Boy, I know a lot of folks that love comics and zines, especially queer ones, and there's going to be several queer artists there. That's happening Saturday, November the 19th at Southmore House. That's 3107 Leland at Palmer from 6 p.m. till midnight. Ooh, that's my hours.
He's really good at what he does.
That's my hours. The guy who's here, Shane?
Shane, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be here next week with some folks, and they're going to be talking about it. Good. A fun celebration of self-publishing and other independent arts. and a grassroots effort to promote the local comics and zine scene. And I'm telling you, that's I don't know much that's really more important than that, because this is the raw talent of Houston artists. It's
I think Chris is about to have a coronary.
Oh, why?
We've got a pledge.
Yes.
And it's from the Montrose.
Ta-da!
Thank you, David, for your pledge. My goodness. Finally, a pledge from the Montrose.
I know.
It's so rare on our show.
Wow, queers still actually live in our neighborhood.
Yes.
Yay!
Thank you. And
well, lost right people do, too, and they listen.
And queer-friendly people still live here.
I'll put one last thing on here before we go to some music here.
Thank you so much.
We are offering the Lobe Man.
The Lobe of Man?
Lobe Man. Not the Lube Man. He's appearing on a different corner. For a pledge of $120, that comes to what?
Well, I'd rather have man
33
have
cents
loads.
A day. You know, rather than sending that 33 cents a day to Sally Struthers. Because she'll eat it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
You can get a Lobe Man.
Ooh.
And that is a cordless mini radio that fits on your ear.
Well, isn't that nice?
So, and it's silver with the KPFT logo. So, basically, if you can't afford that Bluetooth technology for your cell phone, this will fake people out. Or, you know, people will be screaming at you because they'll think it's a hearing aid. I don't know what it looks like.
But they don't make them that big anymore.
33 cents a day. It's $10 a month. And, you know, think of it
yeah,
this
way. That would be the kind that Stanley would buy. You know, the big honkers that hang on.
They've got those cochlear implants.
Well, with Stanley's thriftiness, wouldn't it just be the big horn you just put in your ear? You know, it's $10 a month. Think of it this way. If you go out to the bar twice a month, give up one drink. Per night out.
Yeah.
You know, that covers, you know, you get the music in your ear, and you get to show this what this show does for you.
How much was that now?
It's $120, so that's $10 a month.
Yeah.
So if you go out to the bar twice a month, give up one drink. Your liver will thank you for it.
That's 33 cents a day. Hello. You lose that in the sofa.
Yeah, your newspaper doesn't even... It's more expensive than that.
I know. That's incredible.
So, like I said, that's one of the high dollars. You know, okay. There's the other high dollar ones if you go into the leadership. But, you know, we've got a baseball cap. We've got plenty of T-shirt designs out there.
Oh,
The peace shirts. We've got 35th anniversary, the St. Patrick's Day, the Cesar Chavez.
And the 35th anniversary is ending, like... At the end of this pledge drive, that's it. That'll be your last chance to get the 35th anniversary T-shirt.
Yeah, generic KPFT logo T-shirt, KPFT CD case. I don't know this.
Wow, has it been that long?
Yeah, 1970. The doors opened around here.
I'm looking at this one item and I'm going, I don't know if we can really promote this well in this community.
What?
The shower bug.
Oh, no. No, no.
That sounds like a 70s bathhouse item.
That's...
the shower bug.
Sounds like something you discover in the shower.
It's a water-resistant radio suction with suction cups for mounting on tile.
I love mounting things on tile.
I hope you got a better gluing
than a long time, I'll tell you that.
With the KPFT logo on there.
Mm.
And that's for $60.
Cool.
So, very simply, if you want to be in the shower with Jimmy and I...
Be mounted, yes, in the shower.
If you want to get in the shower with Jimmy and I, it's $60 for the shower bug.
Oh, my.
It better be one hell of a size shower.
I'm here to tell you.
It takes a team.
There we go. Okay, let's do this. This was going to be transgender night, but...
We forgot to tell her.
I know. And that's okay. I've got some transgender news I'm going to talk about a little later on. But this is one of these things you have to do. I've got two memorials, actually, tonight.
Okay.
One is for David Parker.
I had just read that. I was going to ask you about that during the break.
Yes. This came from Hal Prior and Jim Pesco. I write with a heavy heart. David had two requests, one that I should stay the night at his side and the other that he could come home. I got a hospital bed in our home earlier ready for him. I then went back to the VA hospital. He took my hand and asked me not to leave his side. I sat there holding his hand and never left. He smiled so nice at me, and after about an hour and a half, he quietly quit breathing and passed on. I wish I could have had him in our home as he asked. This saddens me deeply. Hal, Jim, I don't think you have any room to feel sad. I mean, you were there with him at the very end. And David Parker, also the owner of Bricks. So that's why Bricks is up for sale right now.
Oh, I didn't know so.
Yes, yes. So he has left us, and now there's something I wanted to read. It's quite long, and after that we're going to do a piece of music that's very fitting, and I may have to stop in the middle. I have somebody finish it up for me, but this is from November 10th, and today is the anniversary of the death of Naomi Sims. That happened November 10th, 1992. A year later, a tribute was published in the TWT magazine. It would not be an understatement to say that Newman's funeral... I'm sorry.
...was a fitting tribute to our friend. It was. In the words of the director of the funeral home where the service was held... The largest attendance of any service was held in their facility. Fans and admirers from across America joined together to say goodbye to a person who had made such a difference in all of our lives. From the spontaneous standing ovation offered by those in attendance to the beautiful balloon release symbolizing the release of Newman's soul from this earthly plane, it was the kind of service that Newman himself would have designed and would have been immensely proud. See the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me try. Okay.
Unfortunately, we're both having trouble with breathing tonight.
Sorry. Yes. His amazing life began on March 19th in Lafayette, Louisiana, when Newman S. Broad, Jr. was born the first child of Newman Sr. and Melba, both educators. His parents' profession, coupled with an inquisitive nature and a brilliant mind, formed the foundation for what would become the most talented and creative forces yet seen in gay entertainment. After graduating from the University of Southwest Louisiana with a degree in speech and drama, Newman began the career that would bring him the national attention he so richly deserved, that of female impersonator. Performing under the name of Pepper and Christine, he quickly gained recognition for his sense of style and incomparable dance abilities. While still in Lafayette, he was crowned Miss May Day of the South, a preliminary to Miss Gay America. The crowning and his appearance at that year's national contest brought him an even wider circle of fans and friends. It also made him realize that while Lafayette would always be home, there was a bigger stage on which to perform. Newman moved to Houston in 1975 and became a regular at the Lamp Post in what is now West University. The club sponsored him at Miss Texas the following year, a title he won, thanks in part to his fabulous interpretation of Music in the Mirror from a chorus line. That same talent garnered him first runner-up honors in the subsequent Miss Gay America pageant that same year, with Michael Andrews being crowned the national title holder. 2 years later, Newman entered and won the first Miss Gay USA title at Numbers in Houston from a field of 33 contestants. Ironically, many of the same performers who had beaten Newman in previous Miss Gay America contests also entered Miss Gay USA that year. And in an almost unbelievable twist of fate, Newman's first runner-up was Michael Andrews, the same person Newman was first runner-up to at Miss Gay America 2 years earlier. Characteristic of his pride and enthusiasm, Newman wore his Miss USA crown to work the next day at Foley's Northwest Mall in Houston. He and his dear friend, Pete Carmelita Davila, were both fashion merchandisers at the store, and Newman wanted both staff and management at the store to be aware of his accomplishment. During that same time period, This Week in Texas held the Texas Entertainer of the Year competition. Based on the votes of the readers from around the state, the most popular female impersonator for each city and the most popular entertainer in the state were announced on stage at various show bars around Houston. The first 2 years, Ernestine, a popular comedic performer from Houston, was named Texas Entertainer of the Year. In 1978, Donna Day was Texas Entertainer of the Year. But in 1979, 1980, and 1981, Newman did what many thought was the unthinkable. He alone reigned as Texas Entertainer of the Year for 3 consecutive years. Perhaps it was his uncanny ability to create the illusion of a woman on and off stage. Perhaps it was his rapport and camaraderie with audiences. Perhaps it was his incredible skill as a dancer and pantomimist. Or perhaps it was just the fact that Newman was a regular cast member at the Copa in Houston and Sunset Boulevard in San Antonio, in addition to being a semi-regular in show bars across the state that earned him that honor. Whatever the reason, Newman accomplished something that no one has ever done or has ever done since.
In 1980, Newman traveled to Atlanta to compete. Did you read that?
Yeah, no.
Okay. In the Miss Gay Universe pageant. In that competition, each contestant represents a foreign land. And in true Newman's creativity and sense of pageantry, his costume was brilliant, outshining all others, and walked the runway as Miss Timbuktu. As in many other pageants before, Newman walked away triumphant, carrying the Miss Gay Universe crown out of the Southeast for the first time in the contest's history. After winning Miss Gay USA and Miss Gay Universe and being named the Texas Entertainer of the Year for 3 consecutive years, Newman set his sights on the one title that had eluded him, the one title he wanted above all others, Miss Gay America. So in September of 1982, Naomi entered the national competition again, placing in the top 10 at the Miss Gay America pageant, with Detroit's Jennifer Fox being named the winner. The following year, Newman entered and won Miss Gay South pageant in San Antonio and competed for the Miss Gay America crown in Charlotte, North Carolina. He was named first runner-up to the Francesca Wakeland. In 1983, he represented Miss Gay Tri-States pageant as first runner-up at the Miss Gay America in Oklahoma City, being named first runner-up again, this time to Tasha Cole.
Oh, yeah, the incomparable Tasha Cole.
In the same year, Eurotan International sponsored the Female Impersonator of the Year contest at the Shamrock Hilton Houston Inn Hotel. Shamrock Hilton Hotel in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainers from across the United States competed on stage for the largest prize in female impersonation, $15,000. Combining his unique skills of style and grace with his now-famous impersonation of Liza Minnelli's New York, New York, Newman captured the title and the cash prize. Despite the incredible string of successes, it wasn't until 1984 that Newman would realize what had long been his dream, to be named Miss Gay America. That year, representing Miss Dream States, he won the title on his home turf in Texas, the Dallas Convention Center Theater. The response to his much-deserved and long-desired victory was, needless to say, overwhelming. Having achieved his final goal, Newman turned his sights and talents to entertain and raise funds and awareness in the battle against AIDS. He continued to perform in cities across America, making Houston his permanent base of operations, as he had done for most of his adult life. He even found time to involve himself in a new national pageant system, National Entertainer of the Year, and was instrumental in resurrecting Texas Entertainer of the Year in 1992. It was also in 1992 that Newman's suspicion of his own HIV status was confirmed. In the spring of that year, Newman began feeling not quite right. A Houston doctor confirmed his worst fears, and Newman, with a T-cell count of 8, began his last competition.
Okay, that was from the TWT, This Week in Texas, November 12th through the 18th. Now, we were you heard Chris talk about the Eurotan International, that they sponsored the Female Impersonator of the Year contest at Shamrock Hilton in Houston. and that grand prize was $15,000. There was also a that was filmed. Oh. And there's a tape out on it. Ruth Buzzy was one of the co-hosts for it, and I've got a copy of the tape. It's incredible, and especially seeing Naomi do the number New York, New York, and I just thought as a tribute that we would play that version again. The original version that he did for that competition. It's on vinyl, folks. So get ready. There's probably a few pops and cracks, but
and hopefully I've got it queued up right.
There you go.
Be a black woman for one number. And as we all know, gay men and black women are one in the same. Well, you beat my dog, you eat my frog, you drink up all my gin, you bathe the moon, you sleep till noon, and you never tell me where you've been. I buy you clothes, I fix your nose, I steal you ruby rings. You break the rules, you pee in pools, you do outrageous things. Oh, baby, I lie, I cheat, I steal, I cry for you. baby. Oh, baby, I laid down my life and die for you, baby. Well, you take my car, you drive so far, come back with the tank on E. Your hair all messed, you half dressed, you just look at me. You're out all night, you come home tight, you fall down on my bed. And there you lay for all the next day, for all I know you're dead. Oh baby, I lie, I cheat, I steal, I cry for you, baby. Oh baby, I lay down my life and die for you, baby. Well, listen, friends, it's got to end. We got to have ourselves a talk. Things got to change, got to rearrange. Is somebody gonna take a walk? Now, I ain't one to put down fun, but this time you've gone too far. Cause you smoke my hash, you steal my cash. Who the hell do you think you are? Cause you beat my dog, you eat my frog, you drink up all my gin. You bay at the moon, you sleep till noon, and you never tell me where you've been. Now, I don't know why I even try to change the status quo. Cause you break the rules, you pee in pools. That's just nasty. But still I love you so, pretty baby. Still I love you so, pretty baby. Still I love you so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
what we need is a little bongo music in the middle of the night. Ah, a little triple shot there. We started off with Liza Minnelli, honorary gay man, because she slept with more gay men than who knows how many. The woman who took much too hard this saying of marrying of someone just like your dear old dad. Followed that up with Sean Ryan, beat my dog.
He's cute.
Yes, he is.
Yum, 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 yum.
Unfortunately, I believe he's got somebody. There's a dedication there to his huckleberry friend.
Yeah, like that's ever stopped me before.
And we ended that little triple shot there with Veronica Klaus. And the reason why is J.D. Doyle wanted us to pass along a little message there of the queer music heritage. He's doing two shows on transgendered artists. On Monday, November 28th, the show will feature interviews with Veronica Klaus, who you just heard with the song All I Want, Jessica Xavier and Georgie Jessup, with lots of music and unreleased material, and, of course, the usual website version of the show. The stuff he couldn't fit into 58 minutes, and the stuff the FCC wouldn't let him try to fit into 58 minutes. The following week, on the 5th, there will be a bonus edition of the QMH, and it will be packed full of music by more transgendered artists in varieties of genres.
It's already December?
Next month.
Oh, crap.
It's, yeah, Christmas is only like 30-something, I don't know, is it? Say the
it's too close.
It's like 40-something days away.
Oh, my.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. If you're looking for something for Christmas presents, how about membership to KPFT?
That's always a good one.
That's always good. It's easy. It's cheap. You know,
sort of like most of your dates.
Let me introduce you to Mr. Click here. Of course, I closed the book on the page that told me all the stuff of what we've got here at KPFT. Because I know some people,
they don't want to donate unless they get something for free.
You want to get something. And we understand, there's something. Because also, a lot of stuff of what we have here, it says you can show how proud you are that you are a KPFT member.
And some of it you can't get anywhere but here from other fund drives.
Well, all the stuff says KPFT on it, so you're only going to get it on a fund drive.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, it's like, of course.
Find the page again.
Yeah, I spent all the last time there looking up there and talking about Loeb Man. I somehow got distracted. But, it's easy, it's simple. We got plenty of people out there. We're about halfway up our goal. We want to be halfway up your goal. $60 pledge gets you a t-shirt. The KPFT logo with this, the Dove logo, or a CD case, or shower bug, which is your waterproof radio. $60, that's 16 cents a day. It's $5 a month. One drink. Strange how we talk about these things in the terms of alcohol for our community. So, we've got plenty of different things there for you to put in your pledge of support and show what value KPFT has to you. Keep that open so I don't have to.
And $60 is not the minimum donation. That's just...
No. It's $35 is the minimum donation. That gives you... one thing we haven't mentioned with this stuff is at KPFT, we've got a little bit of your own, a little bit of democracy in action where you get to help set some of the policy and you get to put in place the board which helps run the station.
That's right.
You actually get a voice.
The Pacifica stations, five of them.
Hold on a second.
On one.
Oh, you're on one.
The Pacifica stations, five of them, Berkeley, Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C., and Houston are the only five radio stations in the country that are run democratically. That means that there's a station board that's elected by listener members. Elected by listener members. They're also board programmer representatives that are elected by programmers. And they're gaining more and more power into how the station is run, what programs are on, and when, and for how long.
Yeah. And you can become a voting member. It's $35. Mm-hmm. It's the minimum pledge.
That's right.
You get to vote, and you get a bumper sticker.
That's right. That's right.
If you're a student or a senior citizen, I believe it's a $20.
$25.
$25
mm-hmm.
is the student or senior's
yeah.
plan
yeah.
on that. And like I said, it gives you a way of saying, you know, you actually have a part in there. You can turn the radio to any station you want to listen to. You know, but as far as actually being a part of, you know, the running process, it's something that you don't get anywhere else.
No, absolutely not. And this programming is what you don't get anywhere else. The KPFT is the only radio station in town, the only one that puts queer programming on. After hours, of course, for 3 hours a week, 1 to 4 a.m. Saturday morning, late Friday night, and our sister show, Queer Voices, which is on Monday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. And speaking of that, I got an email from J.D. Doyle.
We just did that.
You just did you do the other part, too?
What about his two shows?
It's a two-part.
Yeah.
See, it's a two-part thing here.
Jimmy?
What?
Yeah, we did.
We did it. We missed that.
You
talked about the episode. He's doing one on the 28th and on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
We also played Veronica Klaus just prior to reading it.
Cool.
And see what happens when you suck on a fag.
Did you happen to mention that on November 11th in 1634... since we're talking about transgenders, the Irish House of Commons passed an act for the punishment of the vice of buggery. John Atherton, Bishop of Waterford, and Leasmore was the driving force behind the passage of the law, and ironically, the first to be hanged because of it.
Well, you know.
And then
he pushed for buggery for both reasons.
There you go. On the high seas, maybe. Also, November 11th in 1907, a Colorado newspaper, the Trinidad Advertiser, because it's from Trinidad, Colorado, mm-hmm. a very small town, carried a story about the death of Catherine Vosbaugh, who had lived as a man for 60 years and married a woman. Even after being hospitalized in 1905 for pneumonia and discovered to be physically female, Vosbaugh continued to live as a man and was referred to by the nickname Grandpa. Ironically, years later, Trinidad, Colorado, would become the sex change capital of the world, where over 50% of sex change operations in the U.S. were performed. There's been quite a few specials on that. It's like, what's running the whole town of Trinidad.
In fact, I remember seeing one of the specials.
Sex change clinic.
One of the specials there shows that one of the major doctors in there is one that's received sex reassignment surgery. Mm-hmm. A transgender doctor performing transgender surgery.
There you go.
Who is so busy she's having to give up her OB-GYN practice.
Wow. Wow.
Hmm.
So,
I learn on the Discovery Health Channel.
There you go.
I used to live in Colorado, and I've been to Trinidad, Colorado, and it's not much there but the hospitals.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
You stop it.
That's right.
And most of the town, I had some friends that lived there. The best jobs that you can get are in the sex change clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you're pretty much SOL.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're in a business that supports it in some way.
Gas stations.
So, yeah.
resale shops, you bring in your pants, they give you a skirt.
Cute.
Ow.
Cute. Anyway, I thought that was interesting that came on the heels of the...
so to speak.
I'm just thinking.
J.D. Doyle.
I have this wallet. Can I get that Louis Vuitton purse?
J.D. Doyle's QMZ. QMH.
Queer Music Heritage.
Hello. It's been a long day, folks. I've been hauling stuff from the museum over to storage and all kinds of other stuff. I had to work today. That was disgusting.
Oh, geez, let me cry you a river.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
It's been so long, he was able to reclaim his work virginity.
No kidding. Which Veronica Klaus did you play?
All I Want.
Ah, good. I like that one. But, gosh. So, where else are you going to hear transgender history but after hours?
Transgendered music.
Yeah, you're certainly not going to hear it anywhere but after hours. Or possibly queer voices.
Yeah, only the station. I mean, you can sit there and, you know, there's been a lot of talk this past week here about gays on the regular television stations tonight. Between Prop 2 and the two cheerleaders out in Carolina, who now claim they weren't engaged in sex.
Well, whatever.
And, you know,
if your face is down there.
Hey. Wow. She was basically, you know, one of the girls was drunk, and women, they have to hold each other's hair back when they puke or something like that. So that's all she was helping to do.
Yeah.
Is that a fact?
But, you know.
Sure.
That's the sort of sensational stuff we have, you know.
Yeah.
All this past week, you were hearing cheerleader sex scandal story coming up. And they kept talking all about this. And you know what? They weren't charged with sex. The one was charged with assault. The other one was charged with providing false identification.
Okay.
Nowhere were they charged with having sex in the bathroom stall. Because A, sodomy is legal. B, supposedly there is a belief of privacy when you're in that booth. So,
one would hope.
Yeah. So that, you know, what they were doing was not in the public. It was in a private place, although it was in the bathroom of some bar.
Yes.
So they weren't charged with sex. But, of course, you know, lesbianism sells on the mainstream media.
Of course it does. For some unknown reason, you know, it's... If you ever met real lesbians, you'd realize there's not a whole lot of sex going on, you know, if they've been together for any length of time.
Leah Delaria said, you want to show real lesbian sex there? Show two women in bed with Tai Chi playing Scrabble.
There you go. There you go. And I think it's that way for any couple that's been together for any length of time. You know, sex soon goes out the window and you're left with this comfortableness of being a couple.
But, you know, we don't have to give you the sensational stories. We'll tell you the truth. And
But, you know, we throw in the sensation on Leatherline and...
no. We don't have any sensations on that.
Hey, you know, the two segments we get the most comments on are the transgender segment and the leather segment. Because, most of these comments are coming from the straight community.
Now, if we could,
wow, I didn't know all of that. I didn't know that was involved. I didn't know, you know, you've really opened it up for me.
If we get a transsexual dominatrix in here, there'll be some people blowing a load. They'll blow their mind.
He went there.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, we can go there because this station, you know, we're a little bit looser. We play a little faster, a little looser with, you know.
You would say loose.
And
he already went there.
And he looked right at me when he said it. Did you notice?
Well, you know, with age.
Oh, man.
Love you, Jimmy.
Click. Oh. Goodbye.
Yes, well.
You are the weakest link. You know, turning off microphones is not just for roundtable anymore.
I see.
But you know, the kind of, we can joke, we can laugh, but we're going to give you the story as best we can of what it's really like in our community. And you know, we're a small segment. We've got the 5 hours of programming. You know, that's way less than 1% of the radio broadcast you hear in the city of Houston.
That's right. And we represent a whole lot more than that.
Yeah. Hey, at least 23% that voted for,
that's us and our friends.
But the fact is, you know, we have to show some way of our power. Back in the 80s and the early 90s, people in our community stood up because of the HIV crisis. They stood up because of the attacks on our community, physical attacks. And unfortunately, what we're doing now is, you know, we're going through... The only activism we have that seem to have with people is hitting the reply button on an email.
Well, it's a different type of activism. In the late 80s and early 90s, we had ACT UP because we had to beat people over the heads so that they were aware that we were here and what was going on. Now, I think queers are really a part of the American fabric of life. I mean, once it's blasé to have a gay character on a TV show, I think you know you've arrived. And so people know we're here. Now, the activism doesn't come from the Montrose. It doesn't come from the ACT UP types of activism. It comes from the male couples and the female couples who are buying houses in suburbia and living their lives and being examples for their neighbors.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is this, you know, we can sit here, we can talk how great Ellen and Queer as Folk and Will and Grace, all this other stuff is.
I don't think
is.
Will and Grace is so great.
But, you know, I mean, the fact that they're out there.
That fact that they're out there, yes.
But, you know, it's still at a point in our society where you can walk into work and your boss can meet you at the door and say, get the hell out of here, you're fired, you faggot.
Yep.
Perfectly legal.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you can come home one day and find all of your furniture out on the front yard, you know.
Because you're a landlord.
And say, and a big rainbow flag that you had on your wall, laying across it going, queer, get out of here.
Yep.
That's still legal.
That's still legal.
You know, people can still go through the streets and beat you upside the head. And it may get investigated a little bit more now. But it's easy to disappear from that.
You know the thing with Prop 2, it looks like from the voting that people do not want us to have relationships, but that's not true. Because it's like more than 50% of people feel that queers, GLBT people, should have relationships. It's the word marriage that scares people.
Absolutely.
It's that word. If we had another word for it, and what I've tried to tell people who are not aware of the situation, that don't know all the ins and outs, that when we're talking about marriage, we're talking about two different things.
Absolutely.
One is the contract with the state. The mm-hmm. other is the religious ceremony.
It's a ceremony. Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
If we called the state marriage, if we called it something like spousal contract.
I think we should have went for civil unions and left the religious ceremony out of it.
Absolutely.
Because when you start messing with religion, you make a lot of people mad.
Yes.
But by that standard, then all of us, every last one of us, gay or straight, should be civil unions across the board. Because if the word marriage is related to a religious event, it has no place in the legal standing of our...
I absolutely agree with that. Separate church and state.
Yes.
Yeah, the problem is...
You've got to do it all, or you can't do, or you don't do it at all.
I mean, the simple fact is they can sit there and put, you know, marriage is for procreation. The reason marriage is for procreation, under the strict Bible thing, is to be able to pass property down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm.
So does that mean if a couple, a heterosexual couple, get married and they can't have children because of a problem with her or a problem with him, then they shouldn't be married?
Technically, yes.
Let's try selling that.
Under... We're not taking phone calls.
We cannot take phone calls because the phones are in another space.
Right.
Yeah. We appreciate the call. You can make a donation though.
Actually said he did to the Filipino.
Oh.
He what?
He made a donation to the Filipino show?
We have a
Filipino
show?
Okay, let's go back to our segment.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. We have a Filipino
show. I didn't know we had a Filipino show.
Way to go.
Okay.
Gotta love this station.
I know. Generation show.
That's probably what it was. Generation.
That's hot, too. That's great music. And those are really great guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to the marriage
thing. I don't know where the hell I was.
I know what you mean.
We were talking about how if a heterosexual couple were to get married but not be able to have children,
should they not be able to be married?
And
if you're talking about marriages for procreation or to protect procreation, then people who can't procreate
shouldn't be married.
No.
That's under the strictest application of the Bible.
And that's the thing. I don't agree with that because I don't think anyone should be restricted from having their union, whatever it is, affirmed.
That's true.
You know, and I'm not going to stand here and religion bash.
Well, the thing of it is, you cannot, because when you're talking about religious, you're talking about a matter of faith. You're not talking about a matter of logic.
And but the one piece of logic that should be interjected into any religious debate is that Christianity is not the only faith.
No, it is not.
You're sure
no,
I it
isn't.
You're sure.
Now, the
if you include people from a country that is full of people from every country, other country on the planet, you are also including their beliefs. And no, and you know, not all of them are Christian or Catholic even.
You know, I've recently read that the genesis for religious organizations becoming involved in marriage in this country started in Massachusetts. Because the state government was not as strong as the religious organizations were.
Hmm.
They came first. People came here because of religious persecution. And so the state ceded to the church the right to perform the marriage contract.
I mean, you can still tell that in the modern wedding vow. At the end there, the celebrant usually will say, by the power vested in me by the state of Texas.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because you don't need, I mean, you know.
The power vested in me by the state of Texas means that Texas gave the religious organization the power to perform this ceremony.
You get the certificate from the Justice of the Peace office, the Vital Statistics office.
$41 here in
and
Texas.
All you need is the bride, the groom, and a witness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need a celebrant for it to be legal in Texas. You know, all you got to do is stand up there, you express your love for one another, and one person witnesses, and they sign off on it.
That's right.
That's all it takes.
You can even do it by proxy.
Yeah. But
yeah, this whole thing's going to spawn one hell of a legal.
Oh, yes.
Simply because, you know, eventually somebody's going to be able to hook into the whole thing about separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
Does not that we already decided
that's
that
right.
one?
Well, I think the thing that's going to get it is the common law marriage. That the wording of this proposition outlaws common marriage.
Not just common law marriage.
It outlaws
technically any marriage that is performed in any other state. Because it says anything like marriage that any other state puts forward. Well, what's the thing that's most like marriage?
Domestic partnerships.
So any marriage that's performed outside of the state of Texas by any other state technically is not recognized by the state of Texas.
Wow.
So all we need to do is have somebody, some straight couple, you know,
challenge it,
get nailed on this.
Absolutely.
And then what the phrase you're going to hear being repeated over and over again is full faith and credit clause.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, no matter what state makes up for their laws, each state, once they set for the, when they give you that permission and that, it carries over. You know, the fact that, and it goes with not just marriage certificates. You know, a 16-year-old here in Texas can get a driver's license and not go to driving school.
Mm-hmm.
Their parent can teach them, sign an affidavit,
yep.
and they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You go to another state that requires the 16-year-old to have driver's education. They can't require the kid to renew it. He takes that Texas driver's license. They give him that state
That's
one.
That's right.
Absolutely. No questions asked.
That's right.
And if you've ever seen the way some people in the city drive, you know that was true.
I think the bottom line here, really, on the marriage and the amendment proposition too, is really just because it's been passed into law,
mm-hmm.
or it hasn't been yet, but as soon as it's been enacted,
yes.
We'll get a couple out there that'll challenge it,
yeah.
and we'll put it in the federal court system, and we'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court, and maybe we'll get lucky and they'll strike it down.
Yeah.
I mean, just because it's passed doesn't mean it's over.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's
that's
not
right.
over.
No.
Because
no.
we're going to fight it, and we'll probably win it. I mean, maybe because of the wording.
You know, the strange thing I was thinking about with this is you can look at the same at this... This with Prop 2 and all that, and you could argue it on a state's rights issue from both sides. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the right of the state of Texas to say that this is not marriage, but then you know, Massachusetts says that this is considered marriage. So what does how does Texas nullify Massachusetts law? So it's a state's right issue for and against it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And traditionally, a state's right issue. Is a Republican issue.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
That's true.
Because that's what Republicanism is all about, is smaller government, mm-hmm. you know, rather than
well, that's
a monster.
What they say anyway.
Yeah, that's...
We've got the biggest government ever.
Republicans are all about the small government thing, and yet we're, you know, government has blown out of proportion yep. in the last 5 years.
Yep.
I had a good friend this week, just on a side note, I have a good friend who's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to, I ran into over at Hollywood earlier, today I guess it was, or yesterday, and it all runs together, and he's been in a, as my father would have said, a purple funk.
Ooh.
I mean, he's just been in a... Since this thing is like, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, if a lawyer is
yeah.
in this mood about this, knowing full well that
yeah.
it's going to be more fight ahead,
yeah.
you know, that's kind of sad.
Well, we knew that. You know? We knew we weren't going to win this.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
And you know what my problem is that, that number seems significant.
Mm-hmm.
That 76%.
76 statewide, yeah.
Percent. But when you consider that that's 76 of the 22% maybe that bothered to take their happy little butts out of their chairs and get to the polls.
Yeah.
And it was only 22% of the voting population that showed up, mainly because of Prop 2.
The wording on the ballot card as well, I'm sure, threw a lot of people off. I mean, because really, if you really think about it, you have a lot of populated areas that went to vote. Like, let's talk about, like, up in the panhandle and stuff like that. You know, there was not nobody up there
right.
That was whatever the word is that's up there really pushing Prop 2 or going against it. Okay, so these people are going into the polls not really understanding what Prop 2 is all about in the first place. So here they are, they're in their booth, they're voting, and they're like, what is this Prop 2? With the wording being as screwed up as it was, they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm voting for or against. Let's just check one. Bink.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
and that happened a lot. I mean, you got Dallas, probably that was really, I mean, everybody that voted in Dallas, San Antonio, in your major populated
sure.
areas, they knew what they were really kind of voting for, maybe. But when you start getting up into, like, your rural counties and stuff like that that were voting, which old people vote. Senior
sure.
citizens,
they
yeah. vote.
They
rain,
do.
Shine, snow, heat, they're there. So a lot of people, I mean, older people, they just don't know what's going on with certain issues like that. I mean, they just don't follow it.
Well, you know, Travis was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Travis, the teenage politico. And he was talking about all the other propositions.
Mm-hmm.
He said nobody I know knows anything about these things.
No,
nobody's talking about them.
Absolutely.
And I went into the voting. I think, no, a friend of mine checked it out. He went online somewhere, and we discussed it the night before.
I had no idea there were that many props.
Nine.
Yeah, that were up for things.
Wasn't that incredible?
But until like 2 days before the thing, and I'm like, what the?
And some
all
of the stuff
this other stuff.
Mm. I mean, and some of the stuff is because of our wonderful Texas Constitution. I mean, like like one of them was for to allow two counties, who knows where they are, to sell land.
Yeah.
That's the how screwed up.
There was the one
There's only one I voted for that I voted the way the rest of the state went.
As the old joke goes, don't blame the legislature. They haven't done anything.
Exactly. There was another one, I believe it was Harris County, to improve the roads on the east side of Houston or something like that. And the state was to pay for it, or the taxpayers were to pay for it. And that went all over the state of Texas. Yeah.
Well, everybody's been on the east side. They need to improve those streets.
Well, that's the way we're set up. You know, people in Amarillo vote on what we do with our city streets. And what's that about?
Yeah, that's absolutely. I mean,
Amarillo has city streets.
Yes, they do.
They have dirt roads. I agree. I mean, Amarillo should have nothing to do with what the east side of Houston is doing with their streets.
Exactly.
I mean, it has nothing. I mean, then again, you know, it comes from TxDOT, you know.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. But I mean, then again, you know, we shouldn't have anything to do with Amarillo and what they're doing with their dirt roads. I mean, let's pay it.
But it's a shame that, you know, these things are up there, mm-hmm. and we're talking some big money here, and no one that I know had any idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the closest way you could have found out any of this stuff is if you read the Houston Chronicle for the week prior to the election, and they came out with their for and against in the opinion section.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about, and you know.
Do you know
how many people read the paper every day?
I don't
either.
You know what I think is one of the biggest, I mean, really, at the core of it is one of the big problems.
What?
Is that, for all intents and purposes, people have been banged by so many of the things that have gone on in politics over and over and over,
yeah.
Royally, you know, without lube. And that they don't, so many people just don't feel like what they say matters, what they vote matters, because they, some of them, you know, the handful that go, and they see, you know, it turn in a different direction from what they feel like they voted. And I just want to look at them and I go, look at that insane election that everybody remembers oh so well.
Which one?
The president selects.
Yes.
and say, if it had just been for a few more people, this, we would not have had to go through all that. So you can't tell me that in some respects, putting aside the fact that the Supreme Court did their thing, you know, that it doesn't matter, because if it didn't, we wouldn't have had that situation have to come up, because that many people actually made their voices heard.
Yeah.
That for that time. Yeah. The Supreme Court went on to, you know, screw us all, but, you know.
Uh-huh. You know, whenever there's a proposition or amendment or something like that coming up that doesn't get talked about, or it's not high profile, and it's there's money tied to it, I'm voting against it. I'm sorry. If I don't have all the information, I'm not going to vote for big expenditures of money.
Hell no.
But I always get shot down. Mm-hmm. You know, I always lose.
I understand Arnold didn't have a good year in his state, either, so.
Oh, yeah, boy, howdy.
He got a nyet.
Boy, did he
ever.
So
they kicked him out of office?
No.
Oh.
He ran a special election to put forward his proposals for, I think it was education and the economy. And the voters shot him down on every one of them.
Yeah.
The governator.
And he's already said that he's going to run again. He may have to change his mind.
Has he noticed has he been paying attention?
Well, the only
his PR has gone directly to his head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the GOP really only had two success stories in the past election. That was Prop 2 and Michael Bloomberg being reelected in New York City.
Yeah.
Then again, he spent $75 million of his own money to get himself reelected.
Which he can afford to do.
$75 million.
Yeah. You know what I
just had laying around? Hello.
Do you know what I could do with a half of $1 million? For how long?
Well, considering the fact, I mean, you know, he owns his own cable station. His cables, his has radio programming on some of the stations here in Houston.
Mm. Bloomberg.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's...
He's Ted Turner.
He's like, I think he's like Ted Turner Light.
Yeah. And not only that, like he doesn't take a salary from the city of New York either.
Yeah.
He's required to take a salary, so he takes $1.
Yeah.
You know, so every time he's supposed to get a paycheck, that he gets a dollar.
So he doesn't even live in Gracie Mansion.
So sure
it's beneath him to live in Gracie Mansion.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Oh, excuse me.
Touch
well,
her.
Excuse.
Exactly.
But I hear he's doing a really good job, so I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Republican or not, you got to give him his dues if he's doing a good job.
That's right. Well, he used to be a Democrat.
Oh, did he? And he changed to Republican? Actually, I thought he was
it's
like...
amazing what money will do to a person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, money and age. I mean, my father used to be, you know, liberal, hair down to his butt crack, and now, you know,
he's got his butt crack sewn up. Is that it?
Now he looks over to his left shoulder to see Rush.
Ooh. How about some music? I need a break.
Well, we'll do that, but also to let you know, this is the station that lets your voice get heard.
And that's right.
With the exception of this week, where we can't put the phones
on
the air.
We can't put you on the air because the phones are in another room.
But we need for you to call in your pledge of support here to 713-526-5738. That's 713-JAM-KPFT. And show the powers that be that, you know, stuff like this, the discussion we're having, the program that we do week in and week out, means something to you. You know, sound can break through closet doors.
Sure can.
And hopefully soon we'll find a way we can tweak that transmitter that, you know, sound will get through ignorance.
Good luck.
And hopefully,
there's a lot of ignorance out there. Yeah.
If ignorance is bliss, Texas is Disneyland right now. And, you know, we want to try and be somewhat a little spark out there saying, you know, we don't have to stand up and yell, we're here, we're queer.
Yeah.
But the fact, you know...
We shouldn't have to do
it. We shouldn't
anymore.
Have to. Hmm. But, you know, don't step on us, you know. Don't take away rights we don't even have yet.
Right.
Because remember, you want to go stereotypical? You piss off us queers, we're going to do your hair.
Yeah. And it ain't going to be pretty, honey.
We're the ones going to be handing you that bag of pretzels on your next air flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Ask Dr. Laura.
So just
whatever happened to her?
We got rid of her.
Although once a year I see that lovely picture of her on thedailyrotten.com. One of her porno pictures that was plastered all over the
internet. Oh, I remember that. Oh, my God.
Is that a chart? Let's just say it was not a hairless chihuahua. But it's 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. I'm going to go old school on you.
I'm ready.
We're going to go old school.
He's going to play Sylvester.
You bet. Usually I only do it when Jimmy's not here.
That was a guess.
Well, you know, there's only two old schools I can do. It's either Sylvester or Romanowski and Phillips.
Yeah, well, and in your case, the R&P would be the better guess.
Yeah, that was the music I started coming out to.
Yeah.
A ghost from the past. So
the door is unlocked, you moron.
Let's go to Sylvester. And while you're listening there, call us up, 713-526-5738.
Thank you.
goodness. That girl just goes on and on and on, doesn't she?
Sylvester. Well, not as much as she used to.
The late, great Sylvester. Yes, indeedy.
That was Do You Wanna Funk?
Yes.
Followed by You Make Me Feel.
Yep, mighty real. Yeah, the GLBT community welcomes Stat Home Health Care to the community where they work and live. On November 18th, 2005, Stat Home Health Care will officially open its doors for a second time in the heart of Houston's GLBT community. A ribbon-cutting ceremony will commence at 4 p.m. and a welcome reception to follow at the offices of Stat's new location at 415 Westheimer Street 207. In fact, that's like one block from this radio station, just right over on Westheimer in that new nice strip center mall.
Mm-hmm.
And Stat's group's been good to this community. What?
Nothing. You're smiling. Nothing.
You're smiling.
Inside joke.
Somebody is thinking up something very evil here.
Yeah, so, that word ain't on the list.
Oh, my. Anyway, we're glad to see Stat's group, home health care, rev up in Houston because the pharmacy does a bang-up job for this community and gets lots of cheap drugs out there for us. The other thing that's interesting that I got in the mail this week is the Bayou City Performing Arts presents the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, Winds of Change, the 2005-2006 concert series. Our Gay Men's Chorus of Houston is really, really flourishing under James Knapp, who is the artistic and managing director of Bayou City Performing Arts. And I'm looking here at the schedule, and right now, folks, go to your calendars and pen in Tuesday, December the 20th at 8 p.m. for Jingle Jangle Jive, Bells and Elves, Brass and Sass, Sugar Plum Fairies, and more. The Gay Men's Chorus Houston Holiday Concert is a Houston favorite. Traditional holiday fare combined with outrageous fun, fantasy, and folly. This will be the 2005 Cool Yule event. Enrich your holidays with friends and family to the spicy season opening. You will receive a wonderful gift as well. The debut of the Bayou City Women's Chorus is debuting. So that is really great. This city has not had a women's chorus in a very, very long time. And all of these concerts, that one, 70s Fever, which is in March, and Turtles on the Bayou, Saturday, June the 10th, are all at the Jesse H. Jones Hall, downtown. Cool. So we're looking forward to that, especially that December show. I love that. That's always a good time. We'll be telling you more about that as we get closer to that. Because, you know, it's the middle of December now, close to, and Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and then it's December 1st, and we all know what December 1st is. World AIDS Day.
I had to turn my mic for a moment.
I see. World AIDS Day, yes. And there's going to be lots of things going on in the community for World AIDS Day.
Did you get the thing from Montrose Counseling?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
The Red Ribbon Chain of Remembrance. The Red Ribbon Chain of Remembrance is a colorful art project to honor those affected and infected with HIV/AIDS. Each link of the chain will be decorated in memory of a loved one or friend. Display words of encouragement or artwork or space to recall a special moment. Strips of red and white paper will be available for anyone who is inspired to add a link to the chain, which will be on display in the lobby of the Montrose Counseling Center during the week of World AIDS Day. On Thursday, December 1st, there's a candlelight observance at 6 p.m. in the MCC parking lot at 701 1 Richmond Avenue, 2 blocks east of Montrose Boulevard. Candles will be provided. The observance will be marked with words of encouragement and hope about what we are dealing with in terms of the epidemic and honoring those lives that have been touched by the face of HIV/AIDS. Also, the community center is having a Tree of Remembrance, sponsored by GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, on World AIDS Day. And you, public, is invited to come, and you can decorate or write a name on a clear ornament to go on the tree.
In remembrance of
a friend or a loved one who has died of AIDS. Lots of remembrance there. I remember when they first started World AIDS Day, it was the Day Without Art.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started. And museums across the country covered
their
paintings.
They still do that in a lot of places.
They still do that, yeah, to bring awareness of what...
I remember a couple years ago, I... would do that at work, just a simple thing of taking the wallpaper off my computer monitor.
Uh-huh.
On that day. I remember,
yes,
the one year I removed it and put on a picture of... You two are probably going to smack me for this. You know, the only person I've known in the community who has passed on of AIDS. And I put his picture up on my monitor that day.
Okay, and who was that?
Kevin May.
Yes. Kevin May was a personal friend of mine. I worked with him when he was a teenager at Tenneco many, many years ago.
Just by saying Tenneco, people are going to know it's a long time ago.
Yeah, I know, since the company doesn't even exist anymore.
At this point, it's so many names that I can't even begin to...
I know, but Kevin May, I remember him before he did stand-up comedy.
Hmm.
And when he first started doing it, everybody who knew him thought he was out of his mind because... his personality at that time was so far removed from a person who would do stand-up comedy. We couldn't believe it. And he wasn't all that successful at first, but then he decided to come out of the closet and do queer humor.
Yeah.
And he blossomed and flourished.
Maybe what I need to do is pull out some of his CDs. Maybe we put something together for the first.
You bet. I think that is an excellent idea.
And now there's queer comedians left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his partner, Scott Kennedy,
right,
has blossomed.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've seen him with half-hour specials on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Scott is funny live.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, the first time I saw him on... doing a performance live, I didn't realize he was gay. I had three tickets. I went with my brother and several of his friends. And I looked up and I forget if it was a necklace or if it was a bracelet. He had the Fruit Loops.
Uh-huh.
The big rainbow-colored hoops.
Yeah.
And
whoa!
It's like... And then later on, he did performances for Q Patrol. In fact, it was at one of the fundraisers that was promoted here on After Hours,
mm-hmm,
for Q Patrol.
Yes,
that he was putting on that I joined up with the organization.
Yes, Scott Scott Kennedy is still alive and well and doing fine, and he's the type of guy, you don't pick up that he's gay. He's a big guy, and kind of butch, you know. So.
Well, that's part of his routine. Says, you know, he can walk into a lesbian bar at 2 in the morning and he'll drink that free drink.
Yes.
He doesn't care if it's draft or not, you know. So, he was in town here several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
I missed it, damn it.
Yeah. You know, I hang out with the big guys crowd. There was a couple of the men who prefer their men larger there were kind of torn because Scott Kennedy was playing down south of Houston and Ralphie May was playing in town.
Oh, my.
And it's like, I know one friend of mine that was like, I want to make a reverse Oreo cookie. I'll let you figure it out.
Yeah. Scott likes those skinny Nelly boys.
Nah, well, not the Nelly part, but.
Oh, I forgot. I'm still functional and thinking of this.
Yes, bro.
Too late.
An old acquaintance of ours told me to tell you hello. A certain young Hispanic artist who likes to ride a motorcycle.
Oh, Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph.
Where the hell's he been?
Playing the domestic house.
Oh, you're kidding.
He's married these days.
Wow.
To, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Same
who.
Guy.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah. But I saw him today. We ran into each other quite by chance. And he told me to tell you hello.
I sure miss him.
And that he misses us all. He keeps trying to get here, and then married life gets in the way.
Yep, yeah, I can imagine.
Just tell him I got some dirt I can dish if he doesn't show
Sorry.
Up.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but
I'm sure
it suddenly occurred to me that I was supposed to say that, and yeah.
Well, he is so hot, I am sure his husband keeps him on a short chain.
I'm quite sure.
And I think he likes it that way.
He probably does.
Oh, yes. He seems to be enjoying the domestic life.
Good for him.
Becoming...
Becoming what?
He's apparently gone into cosmetology. You're going to love that.
What?
I kid you not. I almost said something else. But, Yeah, cosmetology. The motorcycle riding artist is now a cosmetologist.
He does nails
and everything.
Who used to run the crane over at Lowe's.
Uh-huh. Over at, Home Depot something like that. Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Now what you need to do is get him and Stacy to run their own little salon.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, I wonder how she's doing.
After Hours Hair Salon.
Stacy is doing just fine, thank you. I saw him last week.
Yay! I keep meaning to call.
He keeps saying that he's going to get up here, too, because he really misses being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's...
Poor RJ.
Why?
He hasn't been able to hear Stacy's voice.
I know.
Again, RJ may still be looking for us on Saturday.
Yeah, he may be.
Oh, and of course, the fabulous Scott says hello.
And I have been waiting for his second phone call.
And he is Scott.
Oh, that's sweetheart.
Mr. C is 30 this week.
Ooh.
Yes, we did our traditional birthday thing, and he hit 30 this week.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. Neither can he.
I met him when he was a teenager.
But you know, he'll never have his natural hair color.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's okay. I feel a little better with that now. Because I remember back when he was on Hatch.
Uh-huh.
Scott.
I realize I've been here a lot longer than I thought.
Scott and I worked together for a year to bring the Hatch segment on the air. He was the originator of the Hatch segment.
And he would like you to know that he has been doing very well recently.
Good, good, good. He called me because he heard that I was going to have to move.
Right,
and he had mentioned
that. Yeah, he called you because I had, that was 5 seconds after I told him about your predicament.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was there when he made that phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went by the place, and it looked really nice. It looked like it was more than I can afford, actually.
Hmm.
But,
honey, let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't know until
everything you have is going to be more than you can afford. It's more than what Stanley can afford for you.
Well, that's, yes. Well.
Remember, we're talking about truth on the show.
Okay. Well, it looked like more than Jim could afford. How's that? Because wherever I move, Jim's moving with me.
But he wanted to
separate apartments, but we're moving together.
He wanted you to know that he was thinking about you because I mentioned it to him, and
he
immediately
sweet.
Picked up the phone and said,
"Yeah,
yada yada yada."
Yeah, and, yeah, I know.
Left you that message.
I loved it.
Yeah, he's been busy with work and et cetera and so on. Although he just got off vacation, so.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm trying to think if he was the one that sent some of these. Oh yeah, this is one of the things he sent that was. Kind of cute there. Kind of Election Day stuff he sent it.
Okay.
A lesson in political science.
Oh, he told me about this.
The new version. A Democrat. You have two cows. Your neighbor has none. You feel guilty for being successful. Barbara Streisand sings for you. If you're a Republican, you have two cows, your neighbor has none, so what? For the socialists, you have two cows, the government takes one and gives it to your neighbor. You form a cooperative and tell him how to manage his cow. Communism. You have two cows, the government sees both and provides you with milk. You wait in line for hours to get it, it's expensive and sour. Capitalism American style. You have two cows. You sell one, you buy a bull, and build a herd of cows.
There you go.
Bureaucracy American style. You have two cows. Under the new farm program, the government pays you to shoot one, milk the other, and pour the milk down the drain. An American corporation. You have two cows. You sell one, lease it back to yourself, and do an IPO on the second one. You force the two cows to produce the milk of four cows. You are now surprised when one cow drops dead. You spin an announcement to the analysts stating you've downsized and are reducing expenses. Your stock goes up. A French corporation. You have two cows. You go on strike because you want three cows. You go to lunch and drink wine. Life is good. Japanese corporation. You have two cows. You redesign them so they're one-tenth the size of an ordinary cow and produce 20 times as milk. They learn to travel on unbelievable crowded trains. They're at the top of their class at cow school.
Cow school?
German corporation. You have two cows. You engineer them both so they're all blonde, drink lots of beer, give excellent quality milk, run 100 miles an hour. Unfortunately, they also demand 13 weeks of vacation a year. Sounds pretty good.
Paid vacation.
Italian corporation. You have two cows, but you don't know where they are. When ambling around, you see a beautiful woman. You break for lunch. Life is good. A Russian corporation. You have two cows. You have some vodka. You count them and learn you have five cows. You have some more vodka. You count them and learn you have 42 cows. The mafia shows up and takes however many cows you really have.
That sounds about right.
The Taliban corporation. Ooh. You have all the cows in Afghanistan, which are two. You don't milk them because you cannot touch the creature's private parts. You get a $40 million grant from the U.S. government to find alternatives to milk production, but you use the money to buy weapons.
Ouch.
The Iraqi corporation. You have two cows. They go into hiding. They send radio tapes of their mooing. I'm not doing the Polish one.
Hey, that's...
I'll do the Italian joke in front of you.
I'm Italian.
All right, a Polish corporation. You have two bulls. Employees are regularly maimed and killed attempting to milk them. The cows are happy. Life is good. Belgian corporation. You have one cow. The cow is schizophrenic. Sometimes the cow thinks she's French. Sometimes it's Flemish. The Flemish cow won't share with the French cow. The French cow won't control the Flemish cow's milk. The cow has permission to be cut in half. The cow dies happy. The Florida Corporation. Ooh. You have a black cow and a brown cow. Everyone votes for the best-looking one. Some of the people who actually like the brown one best accidentally vote for the black one. Some vote for both. Some vote for neither. Some people can't figure out how to vote at all. Finally, a bunch of guys from out of state tell you which one you think is the best looking cow. And California.
Does that sound familiar at all?
California. You have millions of cows. They make real California cheese. Only five speak English. Most are illegal. Arnold likes the one with the big udders. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, a listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is our fun drive. We need your pledge of support. We need you to let management know that we're viable, even when we don't have hosts. Remember, with your pledge of support, we can find hosts. We'll have the technology. But we need you to stand up and be counted.
You bet.
You know, 22% of the population stood up to be counted last week for elections, and, you know, three-quarters of them thumbed their nose at us.
Yep.
So we need you to show that, you know, our community is still worth it, you know. We're not all sitting at home drinking a light beer or a apple teeny, watching Will and Grace and laughing at their insanity, you know. We're a different community. You know, we've always said it. The people on this show, you're not going to see us on Queer as Folk. You're not going to see us on Will and Grace. You know, Ellen she's going to the mainstream, she may not even remember us. So, you know, unless we get into a Tribeca film, then maybe Ellen will be there. But, you know, the fact is that, you know, we can represent more of the community that's actually out there. You know, none of us here is going to be the poster child that you're going to see on those programs.
No. Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
You know, we can speak from where it comes from. We don't have to flourish it. And you know, you want to be honest, you know, we look at Queer as Folk, we look at Will and Grace. You look at all the gay characters on there. Only two of them were actually gay in real life.
That's right.
And there's two on Queer as Folk. The two on Will and Grace, well, one, I just won't answer that question.
And almost none of those characters represent anybody in this room.
Yeah.
No. No.
We're
so diverse. That's the problem with us queers. We come from every race, every social strata. So we're a cross-section of the entire human society. Mm-hmm. That's why we can't agree on anything for more than a minute.
Yeah. For those of you who think there's a political, we have a homosexual agenda.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
I didn't get that list.
No.
Whatever that is, I didn't get that list.
Yeah, no, I didn't, that wasn't part of my handbook. My orientation.
That's because the homosexual agenda is written by the religious right. Hello.
That's a disturbing thought. Why are we letting them write our agenda?
A year or so ago, I joined a Yahoo group that was called, Gays Anti-America Agenda.
What?
It's a Yahoo group, and
it's going to piss me off.
Gays anti
gays anti America agenda. He had this group; it was open to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else in one of my other gay chat rooms found it and let everybody know. And then all of a sudden, This Yahoo group was just bombarded.
I'll bet.
I mean, the stuff they sent was. But this guy's now down to 36 members, and I don't think he's posted a thing in months. And, you know, some of the stuff I was listening to, like, you know, I sent him emails a couple times saying, hey, send me the evidence you're using to do this, because I would like to talk about it. I mean, he kicked out everyone who signed up during these couple of days,
mm-hmm.
you know, just, you know, let's just throw all the queers out of here. And he let me back in.
Why?
Well, because I went in not under my screen names. I went in as this radio show.
Oh.
So, my screen name in there is After Hours KPFT.
Ooh.
And I informed him that I was a media outlet, and I just was wondering to get his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's, you know, he's not even talking about this stuff of this. You know, Pat Robertson's kind of moved away from talking about us. He's talking about evolution and some little pissant town in Pennsylvania that's going to get smited because they offended the, you know, I know when we talk about people like Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, and we're talking about evolution and creationism, you know, I wouldn't say that they're descended from monkeys because, you know, that's disrespectful to the monkey.
Tell me about it.
You know, they smell, you know, the monkeys smell a lot better and make a lot more sense even. But then again, you can see that commonality between, you know, Falwell and Robertson and Phelps and the monkeys that was their ancestors. Whatever they like to do when you get a group of people around, just sling their own poo around.
Very good.
So,
where'd you pick that up?
Man, just,
you know,
just kind of like the monkey ideas, pulled it right out of my
head. I see.
That was one that was so fresh, it was steaming.
Mm-hmm.
If you like that kind of intellectual humor, honey, you're at the wrong station. But the fact is, you know, we're willing to talk about this sort of thing.
You bet.
Know? And, you know, in a normal week, if we weren't doing the pledge drive, I'd open up the phone lines. Even to those crazy kids that called us during Rita.
Oh, yeah.
We had fun with them.
Yeah.
Cowards that never showed up. We had their prize for them. But, you know, this is our pledge drive.
And yeah, and we haven't made our goal. Great. We have not made our goal.
You know,
we're still looking for the pledge of support from you.
Yeah, there's a moment in these things when I start to get very emotional about this.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not kind of trying to grandstand here, but I have to, but having met all the different faces and names that have come through here, I have noted something.
What?
That an awful lot of people have made it clear that they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this show.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that becoming a part of the show for myself saved my sanity in a point in my life when my life had just been torn to shreds. And the folks at this show meant something to me. They made me feel like I belong somewhere. And for all those kids out there who even today don't feel like they belong somewhere, you know, that's who we're here to talk to. For all those adults who, you know, you see famous adults who are in their 60s and 70s coming out of the, waiting till they're in their 60s and 70s yeah. to come out of the closet. In a crazy world in 2005, people still feel a need to wait that long.
How about and, all our MBBs?
And all of our MBBs yeah. who, this is their only connection to who they are on the inside.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, folks, we, you know, we, let us know that we still matter to you. Let us know that, you know, we're that what we've done, what we've said, what we've accomplished thus far and still have yet to is worth something.
Yes.
Because yeah. I know that this show saved my life.
And, you know, one thing we can put on this on a different level, and I may not be going out of what the book says. A couple of years ago, we thought we were golden, that our show was, you know, untouchable, that we reached people that everyone knew where we were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're a little shorter, we've changed our days, and, you know, we've noticed that, you know, our MBB letters, we don't do that in the roundtable because we're not getting them. We're not getting that thing that we could actually go into management and say, look, here's a letter from somebody who, rightfully or wrongfully, is incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
and we're the outlet for them. You know, we're reaching them on a different level than any of the other shows that this station puts forward. Any of the stations that they can get in Huntsville or in Gatesville or wherever the prison system is out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We don't have that ability. We don't have those envelopes that we can so go to management and say, look, there's people out there who need us.
That's right.
That we are a resource. And right now, what we can do is give them the thing, the form of people saying, you know, after hours is important. You know, we say, we make the comment of, you know, sound can break through a closet door. But, you know, what we can also do is put down, have to help someone to put down a gun, to not open that bottle of pills.
Yeah.
To decide
razor blade.
To get up and go to school and not pack an arsenal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people here who understand what it's like to be teased, to be tormented. Who has lived through this and are going to live through it and are willing to help however they can. You know, this station is going through a lot of changes, and one of the last rounds they were saying was, what about, why aren't we giving the youth a voice? This show has. We've given the youth the voice and let them speak to their peers on that level.
And we've been doing it for almost 12 years out of the 18 years we've been on the air.
So, we need for you to call in at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, and let us show to management, to the other programmers.
Sure.
Because, you know, there was a time years ago You said KPFT. Oh, it's that queer station.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in the early days, the gay community was one of the backbones of the station that kept it going on the air. Because there were a lot of gay people involved in the programming. It was, may have even been before they even had gay programming, queer yeah. programming on the air. But gay people were here. Queers were here. And the gay community was behind it because, especially once Waldenstein started, and I believe that started in 1974 or 1975, I believe. It could have been earlier. But at that time, that was the only gay programming anywhere, at any time.
Yeah.
And it was really, really radical. Just think of it. We're talking 30 years, 35.
5 years after Stonewall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the fact is this station, this little station in the heart of the queer community,
mm-hmm.
the only radio station left on Radio Row here in Houston.
Yes, we are.
We're here in the heart of red state country,
mm-hmm.
you know. We are the only Pacifica station in a red state.
Yes.
California, New York, Washington, and D.C., blue territory.
Yeah.
We're in the red state. Our station has more positive GLBT programming than the other four Pacifica stations combined.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
And so, you know, we looked each other in these stations, and we looked to see what's working and what's not working,
mm-hmm.
and what's needed and what's not needed. And if you don't step up and show that this program is needed,
it could go away.
Yeah. Trust me,
there's a line.
There's a line forming from here all the way down to Clear Channel Tower.
Yep. Of
people who want this 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they sure would. And they should have a voice somewhere. Yeah.
And, you know, there's only so many hours in a week. And if we're not being productive, if there's not any way we can sit there and say, this program's viable.
That's right, and especially for an overnight program.
Yeah.
It's very important that overnight programming shows management that we are viable. There was a time when there was the serious consideration into shutting the station off from midnight to 6.
Yeah. Hmm.
Just shutting it off. Because overnighters just didn't garner enough money to keep it going.
And but we need to put in our share too, you know.
Yes, we do.
We can't let Amy and Rick and PT and all the rest take the fund the station, you know.
Yeah. All the blues programs.
What we're asking for, what they're asking for our pledge, it isn't enough to keep us on.
No.
It's really not. You know, it costs at least $100 an hour.
Oh, it's more like $180 an hour.
No, well, yeah, the energy costs have gone up so high. But, you know.
Let's say $150.
Yeah, $150. You know. So, I mean, we're talking about.
That means $450.
Yeah, it's $150 because it's.
$450 every Friday night to put this show on.
And so what we're asking for in this for every 3 months is you to pay for one. We have to come up with the funding for one show every 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, $150 because it's projected annual cost to run this station is $1.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's $150 an hour. The money that we collect is 91% of the station budget.
There we go.
So it's listeners like you. So $150, you know. If you want to sponsor an hour of programming, you know, think about it as personal underwriting. You know, it's $12.50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can sit there and go, you know, this hour of programming is helping. If you had a rough time being gay in high school, you know, call in a $150 pledge of support and say, I'm doing this so Hatch has a voice.
Yeah.
If you have gone through the transition and you've made a success of yourself, call in a pledge of $150 and say, I want the transgendered voice to be heard.
That's right.
The lesbians out there.
You can still woodwork, honey.
Yeah.
It's fine with us.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it would be nice to think, it would be, you know, in a twisted way, it would be nice to feel like we didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
Because not another person got the crud beat out of them because and yelled fag at. Not another person felt like their family didn't understand them and they had to slit their wrists instead of growing up to be a, you know, a productive member of queer and straight and all society.
Hey, you know,
but, you know, until that happens, until we, until the world sees us all as just the same, unique, diverse, and but still part of the
community, you'll find there's not a single one of them that wouldn't rejoice, you know.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT.
Whether it's, you know, helping queer homeless, people who have been attacked for being it.
Yeah.
Same thing with this show. If the one day comes that we're finally accepted as people in the, as members of the community at large, I got no problems with us going by.
I would love to see the day when we didn't need Montrose.
Yep.
For home base. 713-526-5738. Jam KPFT.
We're going to pep it up a little bit because we've been getting a little somber here.
Yeah, let's pep it up.
You know, we need your money. They're going to call us home. Don't make me put on my wig and shiny suit there to tell you what we need. Let's go with a triple threat here. Triple shot. Pansy division.
Yeah, that ought to take about 5 minutes.
Seven. I played three songs. I was going to play this one. This one I was saying because it was so appropriate. There, it's a political. I checked here. We can say the word. It starts with an A and ends with an E.
Ooh.
And it ain't the Arts and Entertainment Network.
I see.
But I know Jimmy would go a little petrified hearing the A word again.
Yes. Well, we can say
it's not
first
on the list.
Part, but and we can say the second part. We just can't say them together.
It's not on our
list. Okay, well.
But it would have been so appropriate playing political a-hole.
No kidding.
Should we?
No.
Okay. One of these days we're going to get a...
Yeah, one of these days when I'm not here, you're going to play it.
Oh, honey, I'll play it. You know what I'm going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Someone calls in a pledge of support. If I get $40 on plastic,
yeah,
Jeff Stryker, we're going to play it.
Oh, the Jeff Stryker.
If I get $40... on plastic.
Pop you in the pooper.
Yeah. And if I don't get the $40 on plastic, Stryker is retired until next year.
Ouch.
Wow.
That's usually what his co-stars say.
Do you know what he's doing here? Do you understand what he's giving up the opportunity to do here? If you don't call?
Hey, look at this. January comes, he's going to be in Hawaii for 2 weeks, and he's going to be moving. So he's going to be dead tired for, he's going to be gone for a whole month of January. I got plenty of opportunity to play it then. I still may not. $40 on plastic, you get Jeff Stryker. Right now, it's Pansy Division.
He's on. I'm It's no bogus journey. Gets her heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. In the garage, they are practicing their guitar solos. But in the bedroom, they're practicing on one another. School was such a pain. No bogus journey. It's her heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. They might seem kind of dumb, but they're not rude. They got each other by the pews, squeezing on one another's tubes. One's dark and one is blonde. Day and night they get it on. They got condoms in their pockets, plug into each other's sockets. They learn from Socrates and other ancient Greeks the art of homo love and sexual techniques. They may not be too bright, no bogus journey. It's a boner journey. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin.
And we're back. I went with another Pansy Division song because, why not? Because I can.
Yes.
And no
and
one.
And it was?
We started off with Hockey Hair.
Ooh, and two yeah. of those
cute hockey boys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they've lost some of their teeth. It just means less scrape.
Ooh.
They've got some cute... You know, they were gone for a season, and now all of a sudden they decided, let's go to high school and pick up some kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know... I think I have business cards with that slogan on it, but hey, I'm not a sports team.
I find it difficult to believe that that word, anyhow.
Yeah, I mean, that word, I kind of, it's a little strange because considering the fact that's in our disclaimer.
Yeah.
We were looking at the Carlin 7 and going, oops.
Oops.
But then again, you know, I see them on TV 14 shows.
Mm-hmm.
Pansy Division, Hockey Hair, Cowboys Are Secretly Fond of Each Other. Who Treats You Right, and Bill and Ted's Homosexual Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy didn't let me play the other ones.
No.
We haven't received that pledge on plastic, so no one's going to hear Pop You in the Pooper.
Oh, man.
So
no more Jeff Stryker until next year.
Yep.
Because coming up in December, we play nothing but queer holiday music.
Yeah.
The whole month of December.
Well, you know, he was once in a movie called Santa Claus Is Coming.
Alternative spelling.
Yes.
Slightly different spelling.
Yes.
I just realized we were getting all set up there next year on our old day. We were going to be the first show of 2006.
I know. It ain't happening. Oh.
No, the hell with it. We're going to come in kicking the doors.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still need... Pledges of support.
We sure do. We haven't had the phone hasn't been ringing.
Yeah. Strange. We started talking and the phone stopped ringing.
I hear no ringing.
But, you know, one of the ways we didn't mention it again this week, but, you know, last week we did. You know, the people who listen to this show all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had an MBB send in pledges of support.
An MBB for those folks out there who don't know is our MBBs are our men behind bars. We've got a whole crew of guys who, gay, straight, and bi,
who are incarcerated and listen to us each and every week. We're really glad that we can bring them some entertainment.
Yeah, and, you know, he's sending us postage stamps to pay for his...
Yes. The most precious thing an MBB has is postage stamps, because it's the really his only way to contact the outside world.
So, I mean, I don't know what else we can do. You know, we spend a lot of this time here pledging support. And, you know, we do appreciate David and Jim and Brian and Trish and Paul. Who stepped up and showed their support for this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what we can do. We've... I'm stumped. I really am.
I know.
You know.
I know. It's really, really hard. And for folks who are avid listeners of this station, we know that you've been hearing the pledges and the pledge drive pitches all week long, and maybe you're a little tired of it.
Which is why when we come on the air, we don't do it like this normally.
We try not to. There have been pledge drives where I've opened up the mic at the beginning of the show and said, okay, it's membership drive. Call in with your pledges support, and we'll go on with the show. And people did. We got our goal. We didn't have to cram it down anybody's throats. And that hasn't happened in a while. I don't know if it's the new time or the new day or what.
Yeah.
But I know it's, you know...
It's disheartening.
Yes,
it really is, you know.
It especially with this show, because it's one of the staples of KPFT. We've been here over 18 years now. 18 years. This show went on the air September 6th, 1987.
Yeah, and Queer Voices is younger than us, right? Or is it a year older?
Queer Voices is younger than us.
It's younger than us.
Yes.
You know, is there anybody that... I mean, we're the longest running?
Yeah. Well, you see, it was Waldenstein, which was started in the early 70s. And it continued for many, many years. And then we had a general manager who canceled the show. And the community raised up, and Queer Voices was born.
Hmm.
So that occurred while we were on the air. So, you know, Waldenstein to Queer Voices, it was really kind of the same show. There was an interruption. So technically, Queer Voices is not as old as us, but... let's face it, Jack Valinsky has been here for a whole lot longer than I've been here. He was doing Waldenstein, and now he's the producer of Queer Voices. A wonderful show. It's the queer 60 minutes of radio.
And, you know, we've always talked about that. And we're trying to go more daily show, a little less David Letterman.
Yeah. Yeah, more daily show.
But, you know, it's hard to do that when you're looking at, you know, that we've only got four people out there listening to the show that...
stepping up to the bat.
Gives a damn.
Yeah.
You know, I'll start with there, then I'll start moving into the Carlin 7 of, you know, who only gives a damn about this show enough to give a call. And, you know, just a $35 pledge and we'll shut up. Yeah, let's just put it this way. Here's another one of my requests there. Let's get one pledge virgin.
Yeah, you know, well, I'd love new members.
We're supposed to get we're supposed to try and get three pledge virgins.
And we have no everybody
have
who's
none.
Pledged has pledged before.
Yeah.
That number is 713-526-5738. 713 JAM KPFT. We've got 18 minutes,
something like that.
17 minutes to go here in the show. And we are not at our goal.
We're not at our goal. We're not. I mean, I don't know. Just call in and tell us what it is you want us to do. Right now I'll settle for one of the listeners from the other stations that are calling in just telling us to go to hell.
Yeah, I know.
You know, let us know that someone's out there listening, because, you know, it's kind of difficult to sit here and realize that, you know, I mean, Jimmy's put 18 years into the show. I've put 11, I guess, now into this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's difficult to think of coming in and doing the show, and we're just talking to ourselves.
That's what it seems like sometimes.
And, you know,
it's disheartening.
It is.
It's tough because, as producers, Chris and I would like to be able to go to management and say, hey, we're pulling our weight. We made our goal. And when we don't make our goal, it feels like we're not pulling our weight, or that the audience does not agree with having the show on the air.
We walk on eggshells when we don't make goals.
Yeah,
last week we thought our goal was a lot more than what it actually was. And, you know, as Jimmy put in his email back to me, I showed quite a bit of restraint in how I usually ask questions.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's one of those things that we don't subscribe to the rating system. So we don't get that fancy book that says what number we are.
And besides, unless it's been changed in the past few years, the Arbitron ratings stop at midnight. We don't come on until 1 a.m.
Yeah. So we need some way of being able to show, you know, that we're worthy of it, you know.
Yeah.
It's... We give you the news, the information. We give you as much of the community as possible. And unfortunately, you know, and I'll admit it, you know, past couple months, we haven't given you as much of the community as we possibly have, because the parts of the community aren't showing. We can't get them to come in at this time.
Yeah, I know. It's really tough, because it's later than it's been in the past. It's tough to do that.
And, you know, there's not any way of being able to say what our value is to people.
I ran into Ray Hill at Kroger's this week, and he wanted me to mention that he is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award from the ACLU. That's coming up. It's probably been on LSA, Lone Star Activists, but we wanted to talk about that, and we'll be talking about that more next week. Because it would be wonderful for the community to rally behind him also. He's been there for us for many, many years, and I think sometimes he feels the same way, that... About being ignored by the people he's helped. You know what I mean?
This is an amazing thing. We're sitting here,
at a loss for words.
Yeah, you know, I'm just sitting here going, you know, if management's listening to this, you know, not only they can look and say that, you know, we're not making any money, we're not putting a good use of the public airways right now. And I feel bad about it, because I just don't know. You know, we can go back to music, and we just may end up doing that to round it out, because unless you've just discovered After Hours, you know, if you've listened to us for any length of time, you know what sort of programming we do.
Yep.
You know the community we serve.
Yep.
Whether you like what we say or don't, even if you are, you know...
Oh, good Lord, I don't agree with everything that's said on this show.
Yeah.
We have lots of producers who bring their own segments to the air, the teen segment, the leather segment, the black segment, the lesbian segment, you know, on and on and on. Seven different segments.
Goddess knows a few of those have made me cringe over the time I've been here.
Exactly. And it's not that I've heard from people before that say, I used to listen to that show, but I heard something I didn't like or I didn't agree with, and I stopped listening. And I thought, my God, I hear something I don't like or don't agree with every week. That's part of being human, but there's so much more that's a part of my community that...
It seems to me that if you hear something you don't like or you hear something you do like, your first reaction should be a reaction, you know, to do something about it, to say something about it,
sure.
to let us know, you know, one way or the other. What did we say on what show, when, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and what mattered to you?
And
you know, if you have a reaction, share it, and we know it mattered to you, you know, for good or for bad.
Anyway, the following week, we'll open up the phone lines. You know, we'd love to open up the phone lines. You know, the problem is, you know, for lately, all we get are this group of kids that are sitting at home thinking it's the funniest thing to call up the station lines and tie them up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
Then we get those occasionally inebriated types.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part and parcel of having an overnight show.
Yeah. You know,
all the overnight shows run into that all the time.
But we need you to call in your pledge of support. It just comes down to it.
Yep.
You know, we could sit there. We've joked about this. We've gotten serious about it. You know, we put on a show that you know... what you're getting. You know where we're coming from.
Yep.
You know, we don't pull many punches.
We like to be entertaining. We like to inject a lot of humor into this show because I believe that you can educate people more with humor than you can, you know, with running them over with a Mack truck. So that's what I like to do, but there are times that we have to be serious, like earlier in the show when we did the memorial for David and for Naomi.
And we've had to do an awful lot of those over the years
we have. Fortunately, it's not every week like was happening in the late 80s and early 90s. That's good. But still, it happens, and we have to do these things. And there's some subject matter that has to be dealt with seriously when we're talking about spousal abuse, when we're talking about...
prison sexual abuse we've talked about.
That's right. When we're talking about safe sex.
Yeah.
You know, how to do safe sex. And you know that when we talk about it on After Hours... We talk about it in words you understand. We're not always going to use the clinical words. We're going to get down and dirty, so to speak.
Yeah.
And tell you the real way to do it.
That's because it comes down, a bunch of us don't know the clinical words.
We've done the same thing with breast examinations.
Yeah, because sometimes, I mean, you can't use the highfalutin words because people aren't going to understand it.
Right.
And also, you got to admit, sometimes that shock value of, you know, when we sit there and say, you know, you put this thing on your dick.
Yeah.
People are going to go, what
was that? Whoa, we said dick on the radio.
We can say dick, we can't say
that.
Well, we can say the first half of the word, I believe.
You can say, yeah. Only if you're referring to a rooster.
Yeah.
But, you know. We're still here.
We are.
You know, we may have to change the closing of our show saying we'll be back next week. Because you don't know.
You don't
This know. Is a volatile market.
Yes, it is.
And like we said, there is plenty of people who would be willing to sit here and spin some CDs and get people to listen.
Hey.
You're absolutely correct.
Oh. We have something here.
What do we have?
That's a good question.
What is it?
We've got a pledge from Colin.
Cool.
Out in Fresno, Texas.
Colin.
Oh, sorry, hold on. Calvin.
Calvin, oh, okay.
Somebody's writing like a doctor.
Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
How do I know I'm the son of two of them?
Yeah, it depends on which one you look at there of how it looks there. But we got Fresno out there representing. I don't know. I think...
Yeah.
He pledged... there's enough of a pledge on this to honor the Jeff Stryker rule.
Oh, was there?
Should we? Do the people... As Mr. Smacks would say, do the people deserve to hear him?
I think so. I think we should play... Because this is kind of what After Hours is about. I want you to play the Jeff Stryker and then the song that I said we were going to go out with.
Oh, okay.
Back to back.
Okay.
And I think that will be...
Whoa!
Mark this on the
good
calendar.
To the show.
Dear Lord, you want to talk about shifting gear.
I know. Mark this on the calendar. Jimmy said to actually play that song.
Yes.
This may never happen again in the history
of the show.
This is
the type of show we are. You know, we're serious about what we're serious about, and we like to have fun where we can have fun. So I really want to hear that. And he's valiantly looking for it, I guess. I thought he had it out there.
Huh?
You had it out there, didn't you?
No, I didn't have it out.
Mm. Oh.
I did.
All right. Who's got it out?
Me, honey.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I was about to go on.
Well, we're still on air.
You were on the air. But you're not. He doesn't have your mics on.
How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, hey, hey.
Rub all up on you.
Oh, Daddy.
That's the best offer he's had in weeks.
Thank you. Yeah. Tell me about it.
It's like, as time ticks away here, he's found it.
He's found
we
it.
We have gold.
We're
going to
have Jeff Stryker and the Washington Chorus back to back.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, if you're in a car, if you strip gears that quickly, something's going to get hurt.
Yes.
Am I playing the right song of it?
That would be good to know on that album.
Thank you to all those who pledged their support last week and this week.
You bet.
And hopefully we will be back next week. If not, it'll probably be this song that caused us to have to go away. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Stryker. And what should be our theme song?
Hey, buddy, pay your straight. Well, that's great, but you ought to try something new. Cause you got a spot in a place that's hot and it likes to be tickled too. I got a wad to drop on your loading dock deliveries in the rear. So, buddy, let's play while the wife's away. Let me get you another beer. Let me pop you in the pooper, buddy, until I hear you squeal. If it hurts at first, that'll pass, and then you'll see how good it feels.
My name is Ryan Taylor. As radio has increased in popularity as a medium of communication, delivering information and entertainment, there has also emerged a responsibility for the radio broadcast industry to bring the community together. Community radio is necessary to promote community unity and provide the people with what they need to know and want to hear. It gives people a chance to speak their minds and be heard in a local setting, which could, for volunteers, launch them into a more broad radio career encompassing national and possibly international issues and ideas. People in a community have a common desire to feel like they are part of something with the potential for major impact that could reach beyond that community. Community radio is exactly what can provide these people with a venue to make that impact. Radio is expanding, leading, learning, and growing. The airwaves aren't just for music anymore.
KPFT Houston.